take a look?
All my own rare editions have the same protagonist, the devil. Only the supreme masterpiece was missing.
The Nine Gates is the Kingdom of Shadows. A book reputed to have been written by Satan himself.
I want you to go to Europe. I want you to get it for me.
You mean the devil won't show up?
Reputed to conjure up the Prince of Darkness in person.
Some books are dangerous.
You don't know what you're getting yourself into, Mr. Corso. Get out before it's too late.
I'm afraid it already is.
At last, the key to unlock the Ninth Gate. To travel in silence. To brave the arrows of misfortune. And fear neither noose nor fire.
There have been men who have been burned alive for just a glimpse of what you are about to witness.
Today we're going to talk about a film called The Ninth Gate, starring Johnny Depp, directed by Roman Polanski. Big ups to KT on the Patreon team. Wanted me to watch this film for the Patreon team, and I'm glad I did. I liked it. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes, but worth it. This was another one of those films that fit into this weird period of time that I didn't catch a lot of movies. And I thought I saw The Ninth Gate in the past, but I did not. I think I saw the first 10 minutes of it a few times because I fell asleep. I wasn't ready for it. Okay, I wasn't ready for it, but now that I've seen it, it's a great movie. All the weird stuff set aside, I mean, we're going to talk about all the occult symbolism. That's what it's about anyway, right? But Polanski, you know him. You know Roman Polanski. He was the one who allegedly, well, I don't know if it was allegedly, I think he was convicted of raping a 13-year-old or something like that, drugging her and raping her in a hot tub at Jack Nicholson's house. Jack Nicholson was not there. Then he fled the U.S. and hasn't come back. So, of course, you know, he was married to Sharon Tate, who allegedly was involved in all these weird sort of ritualistic parties that if you read the book Chaos about Charles Manson, you'll see that the researcher there alleges a little bit that those videotapes do exist, that LAPD does in fact have these weird tapes. Johnny Depp, I've talked about him a million times. In fact, I've got a little mini book I wrote you can get for like a dollar, I think, on Amazon about Johnny Depp being in the Illuminati. So much to talk about with Johnny Depp. But yeah, we're not going to get into that today. We're going to get into this movie, right? What's this movie about? It's about nine gates, the path of the initiate to gain enlightenment or evolution of the mind of the initiate. Into what? Into the Luciferian energies. The Luciferian kingdom. That's what they want. Yes. So, of course, plot spoilers ahead. I would, you know, I recommend some movies. I recommend this one. I'd recommend this one. It's pretty good. Now, it starts out with an elderly man named Andrew Telfer who's writing letters, and then he hangs himself in his library, shaking off his little monogram slippers onto the floor. And the camera pans around to a book collection in the room, and it zooms in on a missing title, you'll notice. And we find out this missing title is, of course, one of three copies of The Ninth Gate, which we're going to talk about what that means. That's a book. Oh, and by the way, in case I forget, if you like and subscribe, Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, you'll see all these images I'm going to talk about. I'm going to have the links in the show notes for all my social medias. If you don't follow me already on one of them, I'd recommend you do that, especially Instagram. That's where I post all these screenshots from the movies and crap that I'm talking about. Now, after the credits roll, we're introduced to Johnny Depp's character. His name is Dean Corso. And what's curious is that The Ninth Gate film here is based on a book called The Club Domus, where the name of the character is not Dean Corso, it's actually Lucas Corso. Lucas, of course, a play on Lucifer. Now, in the film, Johnny Depp's character Dean Corso is a shrewd book dealer who snags Ibarra's Don Quixote from an unsuspecting family inheritance. Now, this is important, okay? It's important because if you research a little bit on the occult, specifically, I've got notes here from a book called The Secret History of the World by Dan Booth. The Don Quixote, I have some notes here. Don Quixote was entering the second childhood when his imaginings were real. Okay, and this is one of the key concepts you'll find when you study the occult is that, like Joan of Arc and such, they think that when they're talking to spirits and entities and stuff, that that's real stuff, right? And I kind of agree with that. I think that when you're ghost hunting and all that, you're really talking to entities. They seem kind of intelligent when they respond sometimes. Now, the Spanish experts claim that Don Quixote is an allegorical commentary on the Kabbalistic Zohar. Quixote went down into a cave. This is, again, the initiation thing we always talk about. And he went underground for 3 days. But Sancho Panza says only 1 hour, but it doesn't matter. He's underground as the initiate. And understands that the imagination forms the world. The material reality is a layer of illusion that we create with our own imaginings. We can control nature. That's what Don Quixote learns. It is the concept of ritual magic and all these great things we've been talking about from the occult. Now, so there you have it. So, of course, you know, Johnny Depp, he wants those books. He wants the books. And Dean, what do you want me to call him? Johnny Depp or Dean Corso? Let's go Corso. We'll call, usually I go by the actor, that way you can picture him. Yeah, we'll go with the actor, sorry. We'll go Johnny Depp. Okay, so Johnny Depp takes his books to Bernie's bookstore, not to be confused with Bernie Sanders, and we see a spiral staircase. Now, this was very curious to me, because they make, you know, Polanski makes sure to make this a prominent feature of this bookstore, but the spiral staircase is curious because Polanski himself is connected into this Manson family, right? And of course, Charles Manson was the one who said that he took his family down to a spot in LA where they called the spiral staircase, and that's where they were possessed by evil. Up until that point, they were just doing their hippie thing. I mean, Manson always said he was a beat, not a hippie. He was a beatnik. Anyhow, so Johnny Depp, he visits Balkan Press, okay, to visit a guy named Boris Balkan, who's conducting a lecture called Demons in the Medieval Literature. And Balkan is played by a guy named Frank Langella, who you may recognize as Skeletor from the 1980s Masters of the Universe film. Now, during the lecture, Balkan is defining a witch, the term of witch. And right when he does this, you'll notice Johnny Depp sees a woman who turns out to be the female consort of the whole film sitting in on the lecture. And she's referred to in the credits as the girl. She is given no name. But to me, that is Polanski showing us that she is the witch. And we'll get into her role here, obviously, by the end of this, because she plays the biggest role in this film. She's played by a woman named Emmanuelle Sagner, who just so happens to be married to Roman Polanski. Curious name for her to be as the girl versus the woman, but hey, you know, I'm not here to judge. But I thought that was kind of weird, given Polanski's previous controversies. Now, after this lecture, Boris Balkan propositions Johnny Depp. He says, man, you need to find me this book, The Nine Gates of the Kingdom of Shadows.
Beautiful, aren't they? A soft sheen a superb gilding. Not to mention the centuries of wisdom they contain. I know people who would kill for a collection like this. The Ars Diaboli. You'll never see as many books on the subject anywhere else in the world. They're the rarest, the choicest editions in existence. It's taken me a lifetime to assemble them. Only the supreme masterpiece was missing. Come.
The Nine Gates is a kingdom of shadows.
You're familiar with it?
Yes. Venice, 1666. The author and printer, Aristide Torchi, was burned by the Holy Inquisition, together with all his works. Only three copies survived.
One.
Catalog lists three copies surviving in private ownership. Fargus, the Kessler, and the Delver.
It's true. You know your business, but you're mistaken nonetheless. According to my own research, only one is authentic.
Well, three are known.
That's the trouble.
Where'd you get it?
I bought it from Telfer.
Telfer?
Yes, he finally sold it to me the day before he killed himself.
It's good timing.
Silentium est aureum.
Silence is golden.
Precisely. Ever heard of the Della Melanica?
I've heard of it, yes. It's a myth, isn't it? A book reputed to have been written by Satan himself.
No myth. That book existed. Torchia actually acquired it. The engravings you're now admiring were adapted by Torchia from the Della Melanica. They form a kind of satanic riddle. Correctly interpreted with the aid of the original text and sufficient inside information, they're reputed to conjure up the Prince of Darkness in person.
You don't say.
Are you a religious man, Mr. Corso? I mean, do you believe in the supernatural?
I believe in my percentage. Don't you get dizzy standing there? What is it that you want from me, Balkan?
I want you to go to Europe and investigate. The other two copies are in Portugal and France. I want you to find some way of comparing them with mine. Every page, every engraving, the binding, everything. I'm convinced only one is authentic. I want to know which.
That could be an expensive trip.
That's to get you started.
Now, Balkan, he's got a whole library of books about the devil, but he wants Johnny Depp to find three copies of one particular book. And this book is about opening this ninth gate, which is what the movie's all about, okay? And we hear about, there's different engravings. They call them engravings in the book. They're actually just, you know, the illustrations. I don't know why they call them engravings. It must be some smart book term that I don't know about. You hear one is called The Silence is Golden, and it is, of course, a reference to the vow of silence. The initiate will never tell the masses because the masses are unworthy of hearing their truth about the Luciferian doctrine. So Johnny Depp, he examines the book whilst smoking a cigarette, as he does with all of his book inspections, which makes a lot of sense, right? And I think that Polanski did it on purpose. I mean, It's almost comical that these invaluable books, they're smoking cigarettes right on top of. I think it's a joke. I think it was some kind of joke about something. But he's smoking the cigarettes. And, Johnny Depp, he goes to visit the deceased wife the guy at the beginning, Telfer, that kills himself, hanging himself. He goes to visit his wife and inquires about how did the publisher, Boris Balkan, how did he get the book? Well, apparently just prior to Telfer committing suicide, he sold it to Boris Balkan, which his wife asserts he would never actually sell, implying it was actually stolen by Balkan. And we'll find out why he did in fact sell it later. But this brings the question, why did Telfer kill himself? Probably because his book was stolen? or did he genuinely sell it? Either way, he knows that the next step is for someone to summon the devil, so he wants out. Okay, he doesn't want to be around for that. So Johnny Depp, he's in the library, he's reading the book, and he takes note of a snake coiled around a tree with the phrase that means, let the light shine. Okay, there's the illumination, the light, the Luciferian energy, and he sees the girl, and she starts appearing and disappearing, and he decides he needs to hide this book before he heads to Europe because he's having these strange visitors. Because at this point, he hasn't really talked to her, okay? Now, speaking of strange visitors, Miss Telfer tries to seduce Johnny Depp in exchange for the book, and we see that she has the tattoo of the serpent in a triple coil, just like we see on the cover of Let the Light Shine. Okay, so she's obviously intrigued by this Luciferian wisdom. Now, Johnny Depp, he goes back to Bernie Sanders' bookstore, and he finds him dead. He's hanging, and he's, of course, in the shape of the tarot hanged man at the spiral staircase. And this is, in fact, one of the engravings of the book that is playing out in real life to Johnny Depp. Now, Johnny Depp, he wants out. He's had enough. He just found his buddy dead in the tarot hanged man fashion. But Balkan keeps him pulled in with offers of more money. Because, you know, Johnny Depp's character, he's more or less only interested in money. He's kind of nihilistic. The morals aren't a huge problem in his world. So he proceeds to fly overseas, and Depp is now in Portugal. He goes to find the twins, and we find out that Miss Telfer was more interested in buying the book than her late husband was. Which would make sense, because she's got those tattoos, right? And here is where we learn that the book actually has 9 engravings, 3 of which were signed LCF, Lucifer. And the writer was burnt at the stake for having collaborated with Lucifer on writing this book. That's the legend of this tale, okay? So Johnny Depp finds out about these engravings when he leaves the store. And one of the engravings says, venture too far, danger from above. And that gets played out in reality. There's the combination of the written word to reality, because the scaffolding above almost falls on him and kills him. And he later examines the engraving and sees that the danger from the clouds comes from a man who looks identical to the book twins that he just talked to. So he begins to travel through the countryside of Portugal, and he finds the girl again. And he thinks that she is tailing him for Boris Balkan. And we don't know yet in the movie. We don't know what's going on. So we find out there's another copy of this book owned by a person called Fargus. And this copy is in Portugal. And this is where he begins to unravel the riddle of the differences in the engravings. And the next day, after examining the Fargus copy, Fargus himself is murdered, and someone threw his copy into the fireplace. Lots of questions here. Did Fargus throw it in the fire and then kill himself? Just like Telfer sold his copy and killed himself? This is why we see Johnny Depp smoking around the books, maybe. Is the fire the fate for all of those who dabble? Some are consumed by it? The Fargus copy went into the fireplace. Kessler's copy gets burned up, and Boris Balkan, not to give anything away, finds his fate in a similar fashion. Now, Johnny Depp, he goes to Paris, and the hotel front desk clerk has these keys on their lapel, which are identical from the engravings from the book. Again, this whole thing is playing out from the written word to reality, okay? So he's in Paris, and he's seeking the Baroness Kessler, who has the third copy of the Ninth Gate. And she is the expert on the book. And turns out, she was in an order of witches, a coven, if you will, who worshipped Torchia. That's the guy who originally wrote the book with the help of Lucifer. That's the author's name of the 9 Gates. So Johnny Depp goes to Kessler's book collection, where she tells him the whole history of this book.
But I imagine you know your own reputation better than I do.
Yes, well, it does keep the wolf from the door, so to speak. I'm sorry, Baroness, were you in the middle of something?
My latest work, The Devil, History and Myth, a kind of biography. It will be published early next year.
Mm-hmm. Why the devil?
I saw him one day. I was 15 years old, and I saw him as plain as I see you now. It was love at first sight.
You know, 300 years ago, you'd have been burned at the stake for saying something like
300 that. 300 years ago, I wouldn't have said it. Nor would I have made a million by writing about it.
Yeah.
What is it you wish to discuss, Mr. Corso?
There's a book in your collection I'd like to examine, if possible. It's the book of the Nine Gates of the Kingdom of Shadows.
The Nine Gates. An interesting work. Everyone's been asking me about it lately.
Is that so?
Follow me.
You truly believe in the devil, Baroness?
Enough to devote my life and my library to him. Not to mention many years of work. Don't you?
Almost.
This book demands a certain amount of faith.
Yes, well, I'm afraid my faith is in short supply these days.
I know this work extremely well. I've studied it for years.
Do you have any doubts about its authenticity?
None whatsoever.
You sure?
My knowledge of this book is profound. I wrote a biography of its author.
Yes, I've read it. Aristide Torquia, The Devil's Apprentice. Excellent work.
A courageous man. He died for the sake of this very book in 1667. While studying the black arts in Prague, he acquired a copy of the dread Delomelanicon. This is Torquia's adaptation of that work, which was written by Lucifer himself. After they burned him at the stake, a secret society was founded to perpetuate its memory and preserve its secrets. The Order of the Silver Serpent.
A sect?
A kind of witch's coven. For centuries, they have met to read from this book and worship the Prince of Darkness. Today, they've degenerated into a social club for bored millionaires and celebrities who use its meetings as an excuse to indulge their jaded sexual appetites. I myself belong to the Order years ago, but time is too precious at my age. Besides, my orgy days are over. I told them to go to the devil.
You mean it's all about sex, or...?
Of course not. They're under the illusion that they owe their money and success to membership in the Order.
Do they still meet?
Every year, on the anniversary of Torquia's death.
Kessler professes her adoration for the devil before explaining how the Book of the Nine Gates came about by studying the black arts and a secret society handing down the traditions called the Order of the Silver Serpents. All of this makes total sense, right? A witch coven that has evolved into celebrities and millionaires who believes Lucifer is who gave them all their riches, which I argue is reality. That's the real truth. Now, Liana Telfer, Miss Telfer here, she was doing sexy time at these gatherings of these secret societies of the Order, which is probably why her husband hanged himself at the start of the film. That's what she implies. He got rid of the book just to spite her. I don't know if I buy that theory. I don't know if he would kill himself just because he found out she was, you know, doing mass sexy time. I don't know. But that's what they imply in the story. Now Johnny Depp, he's still being pursued by this mysterious black man with white hair. There's, of course, a reconciliation of opposites concept to consider there with the black and the white. And at this point, he's being attacked by this mysterious black man. And the girl shows up and she levitates down the stairs to help him. She's got the supernatural powers. She's got the CDs. So back to the hotel. The girl, she puts the mark of Cain on Corso's forehead with her own blood. He seems to be okay with it. A little strange. Then Johnny Depp, he's inspecting Kessler's copy, and he finds a postcard from Boris Balkan to Kessler, to Freda, saying that he saw it first, referring to this castle of Cathars where it all goes down in the end. Because you'll see it a couple times in the film, this castle. But Johnny Depp wakes up, and because he passes out for reasons, you know, why not? And he sees Kessler has been strangled, and the place was set on fire. So he snatches the book from the fire, and he rolls out of there, and he shows his nihilism. He's not even going to bother to tell anyone that, or set a fire alarm off or nothing. He's just out. He just takes off. Again, the same fate of these books with the cigarettes, maybe, you know? Sulfur, maybe. The smell of demons. So Balkan, he calls Johnny Depp, and we find out that someone, of course, being Balkan, has been taking the engravings from the copies Corso has been investigating. Okay? Thus, Balkan is apparently killing these people and taking the engraving pages from the book. That's what is implied. Now, Johnny Depp realizes that Miss Telfer stole Balkan's copy of the book because he was trying to hide it in his hotel room and didn't do it, right? So he goes off to see where she is staying with the girl at his side. And it turns out that she and the black albino are attending a satanic party in the chateau of the countryside. And they witness part of the ceremony. It has a coiled serpent on the main stage, but then Balkan breaks in. And he kills Miss Telfer, and after giving them a big speech about how great he is, and he takes off with his copy of the book. Now, Johnny Depp, he's like, takes off after Balkan, and they arrive at the castle. This is the Cathar Castle, the heretical castle that we see at the beginning in Balkan's library. You see it again in the postcard that Balkan sent to Kessler that Johnny Depp finds in the book, and we find out is on the engraving. The ninth engraving is this castle. So, of course, Johnny Depp, finds a gun in his trench coat. Surely placed there by this sinister girl, I'd argue she wants the blood sacrifice. And this castle, the scene is of crucial importance here. It was filmed at Chateau de Pauvert, where the Catholics began their crusades against the Cathars, who were the heretics. Okay? It's all about embracing this anti-Christian vibe, right? That's where they want to summon Lucifer. So Johnny Depp walks in, and Balkan is assembling the nine engravings, and he spells out the path of the initiate that would unlock the ninth gate. And we find out that Johnny Depp himself has become obsessed with Satan's powers, which is why he actually wants the nine engravings for himself.
7, 5, 8, 2, 9. The enigma is solved at last. To travel in silence by a long and circuitous route, to brave the arrows of misfortune and fear neither noose nor fire, to play the greatest of all games and win, foregoing no expense, is to mock the vicissitudes of fate and gain at last the key that will unlock the ninth gate.
Corso.
What were you expecting? An apparition?
You're not wanted here, Mr. Corso. Leave.
I'm the only apparition you'll see tonight.
You'll find a check waiting at my New York office, payment in full.
You killed for those. They're worth more than money.
Infinitely more. But they happen to be mine, not yours. You know something, Corso? In spite of our differences, I have a soft spot for you.
I'm touched.
We have something in common, you and I. We share the same passion. You've developed the same obsession, haven't you? Unfortunately for you, only one of us is destined to fulfill it. You're out of your depth. Kindly go.
I'm not leaving here empty-handed.
Don't even think about it.
Stand aside.
I credited you with more finesse.
You heard me, stand back.
Put that away, it's not just style.
Don't
Seems you found your proper niche at last. I like that. Now, you can watch. I'm entering uncharted territory, taking the road that leads to equality with God. Ooh. You can't come with me. I must travel alone, but you may look on. And marvel.
It's very kind of you.
Indeed, it is. There have been men who have been burned alive or disemboweled for just a glimpse of what you are about to witness. I give you my allegiance, Master. I pledge myself to you, body and soul. Let me fear neither noose nor fire nor poison. Erase me from the book of life. Inscribe me in the black book of death. Admit me to the Ninth Gate. Let it be so. Let it be so now!
So Johnny Depp, he's trapped in the floorboards, and he's watching bulk and consume what appears to me to be blood. If you watch it, it looks a little thicker, a little more viscous than anything else. And he even kind of like, kind of shudders a little bit. He's like, you know? So Balkan's drinking the blood. He's assembling the engravings. And he lights himself on fire in an attempt to clearly become God. The serpent promised Adam and Eve they can become like gods with the Luciferian wisdom. And this is what they are doing. They're worshiping Satan and the dark forces. It is an ego fulfillment to become immortal and become a literal god. Of course, it doesn't work. Balkan dies in the fire. Johnny Depp puts him out of his misery and provides the blood sacrifice that the girl wanted. So Johnny Depp, he escapes with the 9 engravings. And he comes out of the burning castle and he sees the girl. And this is where things get real nutty. They're making love as the castle burns, and her green eyes clearly appearing demonic. And even Johnny Depp sees it now, but he ain't stopping. He don't care. And the girl, she provides Johnny Depp with an ominous clue, telling him that Balkan failed because he had a fake 9th engraving. She disappears, but leaves the address to this first book library where the twins were, and this is the original location of the book that got sold to Telfer, if you recall. So Johnny Depp goes there, and he finds the real 9th engraving that shows the girl as the Whore of Babylon on top of the 7-headed beast in front of the castle with the 8-pointed star of goddess Ishtar. Now, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. It's about the Whore of Babylon. The symbolism comes from the Book of Revelation, associated with a woman riding a great beast with 7 heads. She is, of course, the Scarlet Woman, wearing purple and scarlet. She's iced out. She's got the gold. She's got the jewels. Got the gold crunk cup. And that crunk cup is full of abominations and filthiness, which some people read as various different bodily fluids. But she is referred to as the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, drunk with the blood of saints and the martyrs of Christ. Now, some people, we've talked about the blood of saints here before. I believe Tamara's asked about this, the adrenochrome, right? The secretion from the adrenal glands is adrenochrome, but some people say that blood of saints is the adrenochrome. According to Thelema-type websites and books, I've seen it called the blood of saints as the body of magic or the ego of the practitioner, meaning that the initiate must consume their own ego, dissolving the ego, dissolution. Now, this idea connects us into all these concepts of antinomianism, going against the church, of course, proving how woke one is. these upper degrees of the OTO include stuff like this. They want you to, masturbate and do the homo sexy time, even if you're not into homo sexy time. I don't know if you saw Tiger King. You don't have to be into homo sexy time to be into it, if you know what I'm saying. They did the meth. The guy did the meth. Anyway, the magician, anything the magician can do to show they aren't influenced by the structures of society is a way of expanding the consciousness. And there's something to this idea of magical practice and harnessing the energy of sexual activities, which is kind of what we could see in the Ninth Gate. If you look at the occult left-hand path yogi practices, it's all about controlling the mental-physical bridge. Opening up those seven chakras. Get that kundalini serpent up to that crown chakra, reversing the flow. You can see how the processes of the body must be mastered, controlled, and reversed. It's all an inversion. And in some of those fringier occult circles like Kenneth Grant, they talk about how both partners need to be at the same exact level in order for this kind of stuff to happen. It's a mental and physical control. If only one person is a master, then they are in fact vampiring the power from the other one. And this is where we come back full circle. This goes into this idea of harvesting the energy from the fear emitted through the adrenochrome. Now, the Whore of Babylon is, of course, associated with the end times and the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation, which some would say represents the pagan Roman Empire, since it was, of course, written around that same time. Now, Crowley's world, Aleister Crowley, he had Babylon, the mother of abominations, the Scarlet Woman. He believed she was a goddess representing the liberated sexual woman. And he believed it was an archetype spirit that could inhabit women on earth. He would be the great beast, while the consort is the Babylon, who would help procreate. And the offspring would be the Aeon of Horus, the age we're living in currently, they say. Now, approaching Charon Zone and this dissolution of the ego talk, it pays off, because on the other side, old Babylon's waiting on you. She's waiting. And she will become impregnated and allow the initiate to be reborn as a saint. A little bit of martyrdom. And if you recall, Jack Parsons, the guy who started NASA, basically, and L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who started Scientology, they did a series of rituals in the desert to summon the Scarlet Woman to create the offspring of Babylon. And Parsons did, in fact, meet Marjorie Cameron after the ritual. I did a 3-part show on that about a year and a half ago. Check it out. Whom he wanted to conceive a child with through sex magic. And you see reenactments of the Scarlet Woman concept. Katy Perry, Shakira, Lady Gaga, all at the Super Bowl doing this sort of thing. Katy Perry came out on the beast. But that's what we see in the Ninth Gate. Johnny Depp, he goes to the castle after receiving this final engraving. And he walks into the light, depicting the Ninth Gate as heaven. So in conclusion, Polanski and Depp showing us that following Lucifer as the source of wisdom will lead to the good place, the source of Kabbalistic light, from where we all came from before the oppressive demiurge god forced us into worshiping him on earth through the Abrahamic religions. The Whore of Babylon will guide man towards Satan in the New Age, and that's what it's all about. Now, if you want to see those screenshots I took from the film, go to Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Links are in the show notes. And that's basically my breakdown of the Ninth Gate. I think it's clearly another one of these tales pushing the occult agenda of Luciferianism, because this is the secret religion that all of these weirdos believe in. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay woke.